All right, Proverbs 16 and verse 3. I preached from this before, but last week in prayer, this thought came to me, and I'm going to preach about thoughts. Amen. Proverbs 16 and verse 3, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. Amen. I want to focus on our thoughts tonight. Amen. Our thoughts. Father, we thank you for the word of God. Thank you for truth. We ask you to anoint the word of God and to speak to us. Help us, lead us in the way of righteousness, in the pathway of truth, and let the word be a light to our feet and a lamp to our pathway. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody said, amen. 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 You can be seated tonight. God bless you. As I begin to look into the word of the Lord about this particular area of our lives, a couple of things came out at me, and one of them is found in Psalms chapter 10 and verse 4. But let's go to Proverbs 15, since you're already at Proverbs 16. Go back a chapter to Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 26. And it says this, the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Now think about that tonight. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. And you say, well, what is an abomination? An abomination, for some of us here tonight, a snake to me is an abomination. Amen. I don't want to get near one. I don't want to touch one. I've never touched one in my life. I don't plan to touch one in the rest of my life. And if you want me to go berserk and kill you, amen, just bring a snake up to me. And if I can't run fast enough, I'll turn and kill you. Is this being recorded? Oh, Lord, help us. Cut that part out when you do it after service. Amen. That was speaking not realistically. Amen. I've never killed anybody either. Amen. But when we talk about an abomination, when I was a kid, it was sweet potatoes. Amen. And we went to a family's home for a couple of days. Mom and my, I think my mother was in the hospital, or my dad was in the hospital. We had to spend a couple of days at the Armstrong family. And they had 12 children, and it was me and my brother, so they made 14 children. Pretty good sized table that you sat up to eat. And I was always nervous because I was very picky when I was younger. I was very nervous that they would put something on my plate that was an abomination to me. And lo and behold, guess what was on my plate? Sweet potatoes. Oh, my goodness. I had to go to the bathroom. And, I won't tell you what I did in the bathroom. But it was bad. Amen. And I was so relieved when Mrs. Armstrong said, you don't have to eat everything that's on your plate. And I thought, oh, thank you, Lord. And I didn't even know the Lord at that time. Amen. But that's what an abomination is. An abomination is something that you detest. It is something that is not compatible with you at all. And the Bible says here that the thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Amen. And so it's very important tonight what we think, isn't it? Right. Psalm chapter 10 and verse 4. Psalms 10 and verse 4. And get your pencil and write down scriptures, because we've got a few more here we're going to look at tonight. Psalms 10 and 4. The wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Amen. God is not in all his thoughts. It doesn't mean that God is not in some of his thoughts, but it says God is not in all of his thoughts. Does that mean that all we think about is God? Of course not. It doesn't mean that. But in the underlying things that we think about, we need to consider the fact that God knows our thoughts afar off. Amen. And it's as though we spoke it out loud when we think it. And so we have the thoughts of the wicked there tonight. Proverbs chapter 21. We'll go back between Psalms and Proverbs here. Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 5, the thoughts of the diligent only tend to plenteousness, but everyone that is hasty only to want. And so here we have the thoughts of the diligent, or the thoughts of the righteous. So we have the thoughts of the wicked, which is on the bad side, and we have the thoughts of the righteous, which is on the good side. Amen. How many of you want to be on the good side of things? I do. I want to be on the good side of things because as we think in our heart, the scripture says, so are we. And our thoughts are a part of us. Amen. And I've had people ask me how they can control their thoughts and be victorious in their minds. And I want to say tonight that you can be victorious in your thoughts. Amen. There is a way. There is an avenue. And it is here in the scripture that we read tonight, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. So living for the Lord and having the right thought process is very important. If you have the wrong thought process, you're going to run into trouble all through your life. Amen. Amen. And I love to be around positive people. How many love to be around positive people? I do, because it inspires me. It inspires me when I am around people that were down and out and God brought them up. Amen. It inspires me. I want to pick their brain. I want to know what they're thinking. I want to know the details of their life if I can. And so it's not enough just to hear the Word of God and come to church, but it is a matter of doing some things in our life that is very important. Establish some things in your life. I could preach to the young people here tonight, but I think I just need to preach to all of us, and especially those of us that are older. Amen. We are examples to these young people. Whether you want to be or not, you're an example to these young people, and your faithfulness is very important. Amen. Not just your faithfulness, but the things that you do. Commit thy works unto the Lord. I remember hearing James Dobson, who owned the Wits End and all of that. I remember him talking about a story about his friend, that he would go over and spend the night at his friend's house. And the friend, his daddy, was a deacon at the church, and some denominational church, and he was an upstanding member in the church. And they were laying in bed. You know how boys talk when they're in bed, girls talk when they're laying in bed together, giggling and whatever it is, talking about stuff. And all of a sudden, out of this boy's mouth, his friend's mouth, he said, I can make my dad cuss. And he said, what? He said, I can make my dad cuss. And he said, you want to see me? He said, yeah. So he did something, and his dad hollered at him. They made some noise, and his dad hollered at him. He said, no, he won't be cussing yet. And so they did it again, and his daddy raised up and hollered at him again to be quiet or whatever the situation was. And another third time, he said, this next time he'll start cussing. And he said, lo and behold, the next time they did it, the curse words that came out of that man's mouth. And it was quite an experience for him to see that. Amen. Now, I wonder how much confidence he had in going to that man when he had any problems. Amen. He couldn't go to him because there was no example there. Amen. And well, it's getting awful quiet in here tonight. I hope we don't have any cussers here tonight. Well, praise the Lord. Maybe I just need to change the message a little bit and start talking about cussing. Amen. Well, somebody smile a little bit. Praise God. And you know what, friend? It's more than just coming to church. It's more than just saying you're a member at New Life Tabernacle. Well, praise God. It really is. And I begin to look at this thread of truth here on the subject of thoughts. And what you do affects your thinking. Amen. The things that you do affects your thinking. If you're faithful to God, that will affect your thinking. If you're not faithful to God, half-hearted about serving the Lord, that will affect the way you think. Amen. When somebody does bad things, then they establish bad thoughts. Praise God. They know some things in this world of ours, and they know that if... I was listening to a lawyer who was talking about a case, and he was saying that they had this case, and he said he always instructed in lawyer school that if there is any question of doubt, let them go. Amen. If there's any question of their guilt, don't try to make them guilty. Make them innocent and send them on their way. He said, because if they're guilty, they'll be back. You know why they come back? Because of their thought process. They come back because they feel like that they can get away with it this time. Amen. That it's not that big of a deal. Praise God. I remember there was a time here in Augusta in one of our local banks where someone was caught embezzling money from the bank to the tune of some $750,000, I believe it was, over the course of many years. And I thought to myself, how could a regular individual, a mother, a family person, how could they get involved in that kind of theft of money? Well, it's not that there's all that money laying out there and you have to decide yes or no, but you'd like to have a cup of coffee and you don't have the change, and so you just reach into the drawer and you pull out $5, and after a while nobody finds out about it, and you get to thinking some things in your mind, well, you know what, there may be an avenue here where I could just get another one, and then another, and then another. And it's just like sin, it is never fulfilling, but it is always progressive. It always gets worse and worse. And that's the way it is with righteousness. It gets better and better. Praise God. Or as somebody said, it gets gooder and gooder. Amen. Well, y'all are... amen. I don't know what to say here tonight. But living for God is exciting. Amen. Living for God is worth it. Amen. And so it's very important that what we do... lines up with the Word of God. That what we do is right. Amen. That what we do is right according to God. Now, how many of us have failed? Everybody's got their hands up. If you don't have your hands up, that's okay. We know I've blown your cover tonight. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. I'm talking about a pattern of thoughts. I'm talking about you, what you think about, what your goals are, what your dreams are. Amen. Is God in those thoughts? Is the will of God and the work of God and the plan of God for your life, is it in those thoughts? Or is it, I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that, instead of saying, I'm going to do this if the Lord will. I'm going to go here if the Lord will. This is my plan if it is God's will. And I'm waiting on the Lord to show me, amen, and to lead me all the way through this. Well, praise God. It makes a difference how you think. It really does. Amen. And what we've got to have is a renewing of the mind. Romans 12 and verse 2. Turn there with me tonight. Romans 12 and verse 2. Romans 12 and verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by what? The renewing of your mind. Amen. Why? Why would we want to renew our mind? Well, the rest of the verse tells us that you may prove or test what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen. The good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And so the only way we can truly serve God successfully is to renew our mind. In other words, to readjust our thoughts again. To go back to the basics again. And folks, we can never get off of the basics. Some have erred. Somebody called me the other day, and they were talking about something, got off onto some weird thing, and said they read it in the Book of Enoch. And I said, the Book of Enoch, I've never read that one. Where's that at? Well, it was taken out of the Bible. Oh, really? Okay. And, you know, it says this, that, and the other. You know what? I'm not looking for something sensational to stand up in the pulpit to ooh and ah everybody. Amen. That's for the younger ones to try to do. But I'm telling you what, there's something about the simplicity. I wanted to just say, what about the simplicity of the gospel? What about the simplicity of truth? What about preach the word? Amen. What about folks just getting excited about simply living for God and going to heaven? Amen. Now, if that's getting old in your mind and you're wanting to go in other directions, you may consider tonight renewing your mind. And the way you renew your mind is you change the things that you do. Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts shall be established. Amen. James chapter 1 and verse 22, back towards the book of Revelation there. James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, be ye what? You're not there yet. First James chapter 1 and verse 22. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Praise God. And so what we've got to do is we must be doers of the word of God. And the reason that we are doers of the word of God is that it affects our thoughts. Amen. It affects our thoughts. You cannot, young man tonight, or maybe I shouldn't just say that. I should say every man that is here tonight, you pick up a pornographic book and you start flipping through the pages. Amen. You say, well, that'll never happen to me. Listen, I'm telling you what, I saw a pastor's son do that one time. I had to go and talk to the pastor about it. This was many, many, many years ago, and I was really stunned to think that somebody that had lived in a pastor's home around godly people would sink to that level. Amen. But I'm telling you here tonight, it doesn't matter if you're raised in a pastor's home. It doesn't matter if your mom and dad are living for God or not living for God. Amen. It comes down to what's going on in your head. Amen. What's going on between your ears? Praise God, the thoughts that are taking place in your mind. Amen. And to establish that, the first pastor of the church said, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Praise God. I'm telling you tonight, I hope you all are with me here tonight, but I'm telling you that if the pastor's preaching false doctrine, you're not obligated to obey it. Amen. Praise God. And that doesn't mean you can come up with your own doctrine just for the sake of not doing what the pastor preaches. Amen. But I'm telling you what, if we hear the word of God, we have an obligation to do the word of God. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Why? I'll tell you why. Because it establishes our thoughts. Amen. Amen. It really does. There's something about doing something over and over again. There's something about hearing the same thing over and over again. And dear God, help me. I don't want to preach the same thing over and over again. But I'm telling you, it is only through repetition that our mind is renewed.
That's right.
It's only through repetition. Amen. If you go to work on the job and they give you a brand new job, amen. Brother Troy knows about this. They put him on just about everything out there on the planet. He could build an airplane by himself, I'm sure. But when they put you on something for the first time, do you just whiz through it real fast? You don't whiz through it real fast. But how many times does it take to do the same thing to get the hang of it? It takes a number of times. And after a few times, a new guy will come in and say, man, how do you do it so fast? Oh, it's a piece of cake. Well, it's a piece of cake because you know in your mind, you've already established in your mind what the next step is. And so it's just second nature. You could almost do it in your sleep. Amen. And some of you that do repetitious things on your job, you know exactly what I'm talking about. To learn a computer program for the first time is very difficult, isn't it? Amen. But when you do it over and over again, you establish something in your mind, and after a while, it's second nature. You don't even have to do it. I'm amazed. I never did learn how to type, but I can actually type pretty quick. I'm a quick pecking type of person, you know, where you peck with your fingers. But I see people that don't even look down at the keyboard, and they're just like this. And I can't even see their fingers. They're moving so fast. And it's just coming up perfect on the screen. They know how to type. And I thought, how do they do that? They practiced over and over and over again. That's how a musician gets very good, is they hit the same keys over and over and over again until they can see it in their sleep. They can dream about it. And it becomes a part of their thought process. To me, it's just amazing when I see these young people come up here and they start playing on the piano or on the organ or the drums, and they're very intimidated by it, but it's not very long until they're up there just to go into town. Amen. We went up to the Bible study last Saturday, and there was Abigail sitting at the piano, and she was just going back and forth like this, and she was just playing away. And I thought, dear Lord, I did not know that girl could play the piano that good. And there's probably some songs she had practiced, and she knows those very well. But you give her a Beethoven's Fifth Symphony, and she'll just sit there. She don't know what to do. Because her mind, it's not in her mind yet. Am I making sense here tonight? It's not in her mind yet. She has to begin to read about it. She has to begin to put it into practice. And then practice and practice and practice until it gets into your mind. Amen. Now listen, young person. Nothing happens overnight. Nothing happens overnight. There is no such thing as an overnight success. Praise God. There is no such thing as something that just happens because you come up with an idea and everybody loves it and the money just starts rolling in. That's a farce. Amen. What you must do is apply yourself. You must be doers of the word. You must be not just hearers of the word. Amen. You can't go to a typing class and just hear what the teacher says. You have to do what the teacher says in order to become proficient at that. Amen. Whatever the case is, whatever the situation. And of course, what we're talking about tonight is living for God and being successful in your mind. Amen. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. Here it talks about purifying. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 22. And I'm going to try to hurry here. It says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. And so we purify our soul, amen, in obedience to the truth. I believe tonight that our mind is really a part of our soul. The thoughts, the eyes are the gateway to the soul. Amen. They are the gateway to the mind. If you please, they are a camera that feeds the computer information. Amen. It is a terminal that feeds information to the mind. Amen. It is a camera. It is something that allows information sights and so on and so forth, basically reduced down to information that goes into your mind. And you cannot look at things on a regular basis that are not of God and expect to be spiritual. You can't look at things that are counterproductive and expect to be productive.
Right.
Well, praise the Lord. You can't listen to people that are, well, how shall I even say this tonight? You can't be around people and listen to people that are not productive, or people that are, I don't want to use the word losers, amen, but people who just have a lot of words to say and nothing else to back it up by. Amen, because the ear is a receptor of information, and it feeds that information into the mind. That's why we preach against rock and roll music. Amen. How are we going to be saved and be spiritual tonight when we're singing Highway to Hell? Well, praise God. That's an old one. Some of you may know what I'm talking about, and hopefully you don't know what I'm talking about. Amen. But that was a song back in the 70s, and they sang it with gusto, and you're going to burn, you're going to burn, you're going to burn, and I'm on a highway to hell, and it was really something else, and I sang it along with all the rest of the losers. Amen. But you know what? It didn't bless me. It didn't give me a better job. It didn't give me hope for my future. It didn't give me any kind of confidence level. Amen. And so it's very important that we do the Word of God. Amen. Because we know tonight the Word of God is true. Amen. We know that the ways of God are right. And we could look at a lot of stories, but I just wanted to focus on Joseph a little bit tonight. Not much, but you know the story of Joseph. Amen. We've been on that in Bible study, Brother Mike and I. We've been on the story of Joseph. And as you go through life, here's a young man, probably just a young teenager, and all of a sudden in his life, everything's going good. He's the favored son. He's got the coat of many colors. And all of a sudden, he comes up against a test. You see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what your upbringing is, and I don't say that to put down or to condemn or to criticize anybody's upbringing or to minimize any difficulties or situations you may have faced when you were younger. But I'm telling you that people that are born with a silver spoon in their mouth, so to speak, many, many times they don't prosper.
Amen.
Because their thought process is not right. Amen. Those that have come up on the rough side of the mountain, now they know how to climb and scratch, and they know how to dig, and they know how to get up the side of that mountain. Amen. Because I've been up the rough side of the mountain a few times, and it's not fun, but I know how to get up the side of the mountain. Amen. It's not like climbing one of those rock walls where somebody down below has got a rope. Oh, no. What about those guys that climb those mountains and nobody's down there? It's 3,000 feet to the bottom, and you're hanging by a little cord, and you got to make it to the top. Now, I'm telling you what, that's guts right there. That's courage. Amen. That is fortitude right there for somebody to just keep on climbing until they reach the top. Amen. Nothing comes easy, and it doesn't matter who you are. You will face the trial of your mind.
Amen.
The devil is going to assault your mind. And we've got a lot of examples here in Joseph, and obviously this is just going to be a teaching time here tonight, but all of a sudden his brothers rejected him, and they sold him as a slave. They were pretty mean brothers. I wouldn't want to be around brothers like that. I thought my brother was mean, but he wasn't mean at all. I had it easy with my big brother. And so he made it past this. He was sold into Potiphar's house. And he was discouraged, of course. We know he was discouraged because he was a human being just like you and I. But Joseph passed the rejection test. There's going to be people that will reject you in life. There's going to be rejections that you're going to face. And somehow or another, you've got to get through it in your mind. Amen. And so how do I get through it in my mind? Well, there's a lot of different ways, but I know that the Word of God is the right way to think. Amen. They stripped him of his coat of many colors, Genesis 37:23. They brought him down to Egypt. They hurt his feet and his hands. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 1. The book of Psalms tells us that they hurt his feet. It became very brutal. Life became very brutal. It became very hard for this young man, but there was something that caused him to rise up every time he was knocked down. Amen. It was what he was thinking about. Amen. He wasn't thinking about revenge. Oh, he probably was for a while. He probably was thinking about how can I get even with that no good brothers of mine, or those good no good brothers of mine. But then after a while, he began to think about what his mother had taught him. He began to think about the Word of God that was passed down to him from Israel and his father Jacob, Israel. And so he modified his thinking. Amen. Folks, there are times we've got to renew our mind. We've got to modify what we think. Amen. There are times, as the Scripture says, where we must bring our thoughts into captivity. Amen. There are times when we must stop thinking a certain way. Amen. We've got to bring it into captivity. We've got to put it in jail and lock it. Amen. There are times that I've, in my life, where I have had to say, I rebuke that thought in Jesus' name. Because that thought is not of God, and it's not going to bless me, and it's not going to take me anywhere good. Amen. And then I began to think about the Word of God and the good things of the Word of God. And before you know it, that thought is gone and I have renewed my mind. Praise God. Amen. And you're going to have to pass the rejection test. And then he was in Potiphar's house. Everything was going good. He was doing the right thing. His mind was in the right place. And he had to pass the temptation. Amen. The temptation test. Tempting in his mind. That's where temptation starts, is in the mind. Amen. Genesis chapter 39 and verse 7. It came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph. And we thank God today that he passed the temptation test. Amen. Amen. Don't tell me that he was not tempted. But folks, it is not a sin to be tempted. Jesus himself was tempted. Amen. Yet without sin. So temptation is not a sin. It is when our flesh is tempted according to its natural lust. Amen. Just because you are tempted doesn't mean that you have to give in. Amen. The only way that we will not give in to temptation is when we are thinking the right thoughts. Amen. Well, praise God. Amen. He probably thought, I'm a slave. If I do this, my master's going to have me executed. Is it worth my life? He began to consider the matter. He began to think about it. He began to put it in a category, maybe, as us guys do. Let's list all the good things over here. Let's list all the bad things. And I'm telling you what, if you begin to think about your actions, young person, think about what you're doing before you do it. Amen. Just because you're young doesn't mean you don't have a mind to think. God gave us a mind, amen, and young people have tremendous minds. And so he passed the temptation test. And then he had a test of discouragement. Genesis 39 and verse 20. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. Well, it was a little bit better prison than the other prisons. He wasn't in there with the murderers and all that, but he was in the king's prison. But nevertheless, he was in prison. And you talk about doing the right thing over and over, year after year, and you keep getting knocked down. I've had people tell me, I try to live for God and I just get knocked down again. And it's true, that happens. Amen. We try our best and all of a sudden something comes along and it seems like we lose ground. Amen. Seems like we're going forward and then all of a sudden we're going backwards. Now I've got to deal with this. What am I going to do now? And it gets discouraging. Amen. It really does. It gets discouraging. Everybody said discourage. Amen. That's a two-part word there. One is courage and one is dis. Discourage. Amen. It's the opposite of courage. Well, how can you have courage? How can you be discouraged? Well, if you look at the army, they try to discourage the enemy. They call it psyops. Psychological operations. And they feed information into the minds of the enemy. In World War II, it was there was a lady, I forget her name, somebody may remember her name, but she was a Japanese lady and she would broadcast on the radio and she would play American songs. And then the battalion that showed up to fight the Japanese was supposed to be showing up secretly, and she would welcome them. She would say, "We want to welcome the battalion of so-and-so, Staff Sergeant so-and-so," and she would start naming the names of all the soldiers. And they would listen to the radio, and it was for psychological operations. They know where we are. They know who we are. Amen. We're supposed to be here secretly, but they've already got information on us. I'll tell you what, that's enough to put fear into somebody's heart. And they know that it's easy to win the battle if your enemy is afraid. Amen. But if your enemy has courage and they know what's going on, they've been thinking about this, their mind is prepared, their mind, the loins of their mind have been girded up, and they are ready for this situation. I'll tell you what, a guy that, and a woman that's got their minds made up, and they know where they're going, they know the direction that they're heading, they know what they believe, I'll tell you what, you can pass just about every test that comes against you. Discouragement included. And so he was elevated, wasn't he? Praise God. Isn't that exciting? Elevated. But you know what destroys some people is success. Amen. Right. Success kills a lot of people, destroys a lot of people's lives. Why? Because now they have the pride test. And you're not going to be blessed if you're living your life in pride. Amen. And we find out that Joseph did not succumb to this test. My, he passed a lot of tests here, didn't he? And then he had to face his brothers. Oh, now we've got to come back for the situation that happened years and years ago. I got that behind me, and now they're standing in front of me right now. What am I going to do? Well, he got upset and angry with them for a while. But then he passed the attitude test. Amen. Genesis 45 and 5. Let's read that. I'm going to finish here in just a few minutes. Genesis 45 and verse 5. "Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life." Now where did he get that? Where did he get those words? Those words came from his mind. Amen. They came from his thoughts. Joseph had been thinking about this, and as time passed, he began to see the whole picture. Amen. You know what? Sometimes all we see is just a little bit of the whole picture. And all we think is, this is where it's at, and this is what's happening, and this is the most important thing. But it's not necessarily the most important thing. It's probably just a little piece in the whole big puzzle. Amen. God has a plan, and if we'll just come to the place in our mind where we recognize that God's got a plan for my life, and it's going to be all right. It's going to work out. Praise God, we can pass the test. Anybody want to pass the tests? Amen. Amen. You can if you'll start committing everything you think to the Lord and doing what is right every day. Praise God. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. Their works. Amen. Commit your works to God, young person. Commit your works to God, adult. Amen. Whoever you are, ma'am, sir, whatever your situation is, commit your works unto God. Amen. Don't be half-hearted in what you do for God. Amen. Don't be half-hearted in your commitment and faithfulness to God. Commit it to God. Give it to God. Plant it deep, deep, deep so the roots can be deep, deep, deep. Amen. Because Satan knows that this is how to conquer, because this is how he was conquered. Amen. Ezekiel chapter 28 and verse 15. Praise the Lord. I'm just going to read it tonight for the sake of time, and you can read it when you get home. But he said, "Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee." Amen. And then it goes into the judgments that was going to come to Satan. Amen. God said through the prophet, "You were perfect in the day that you were created." And I looked up that word perfect, and it doesn't mean mature. It means perfect. It means there was nothing about Satan, the pre-fall of Satan, that was flawed in any way. He was absolutely perfect. Amen. Isaiah chapter 14 and verse 12, it says, "How art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart." Amen. Where do we say, does the heart have a mouth? Amen. When we say in our heart, what it literally means is, it's our thoughts. It's our thoughts. And so Satan began to think. Amen. And he began to think in ways that he shouldn't think. And he said, "You know what? I think I could get higher than God. You know what? I've got this music here within me, and everybody starts worshiping when I play, but when I stop, everybody stops. So I'm the one that's creating the worship. I'm the one that's doing all these things. God's sitting high on his throne, and I'm doing all the work. I think I could be just like God." Well, praise the Lord. Are you all okay tonight? Amen. I don't think there's any other church having church here tonight in Augusta. I was going to say we could just dismiss and go join the Baptist, but I don't think that would work either. Amen. Praise the Lord. Got to thinking in his mind, "Man, I think I could do better than this." You know, I heard somebody say one time, "I've outgrown my church. I'm smarter than my church. I'm smarter than the pastor." And you know what? I pastor people that are smarter than me, but none of us are smarter than God. And it's God who puts people in their places. Amen. And it's for our good. Praise God. Praise God. It's for our good. And, "Well, I've outgrown my church." Well, you're not going to do that. Amen. That's not the way it is. Amen. But there is a will of God. Satan fell because he began to think in his mind things that were not right. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Sister Reed, would you come tonight? Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Praise the Lord. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Philippians 4 and verse 8. Amen. Finally. Everybody said, finally. Finally, he's done. Amen. Finally. Philippians chapter 4. Some of you are still turning there. That's fine. Finally, brethren and sisterins. Well, praise God. I should have brought some quarters up here. I'd give everybody a quarter for an amen or at least a nod or something. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are true. You got to think about that. Whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there's any goodness in it, if there's anything that's profitable in it, if there be any praise, amen. Well, I like to get the skinny on somebody. Amen. I want to know the dirt behind the scene. You know, I just like that sort of stuff. No, that's not what the Bible says. Whatsoever is just, whatsoever is pure, if there be any praise, amen. I love a good report. Amen. Oh, and I've got a good report tonight. Would y'all like to hear a good report?
Amen.
Just came to me. We've been praying for Brother Scott. He had prostate cancer, and he called me last night. He was just flat out tired, dead tired. And he said, I've got good news. The doctor just called. And if you know anything about a PSA level, it doesn't matter. But if it's up, his was up around 9 or 10. Normal is about 1. That means you've got cancer. He said it's 0.04. Amen. Cancer free. Isn't that exciting, Sister Glenda? Amen. We believe in God. We're coming against that spirit of cancer. Amen. And believe in God for healing and victory in our lives. And I said, man, you made my day. Had another preacher call me and give me a good report. I said, oh, this has made my day. I just feel so good because you called me. Amen. But who wants to receive a phone call? Or who wants to get in a huddle with folks and start talking about this person and that person and what they did and their motives and all the evil and all that? Oh, listen, only people that want to do that are carnal people that need to be spending their time in a huddle with prayer. Reading the Word of God. Amen. I'll tell you how to run somebody like that off without being rude. When they start talking like that, just say, you know what? I need to hear something really good. Do you have a scripture that you could quote for me? Could you share a scripture with me? I really need encouragement. Well, it's been nigh unto 55 years since I even picked up my Bible. But I've read the Examiner. I always buy that when I go through the grocery store. Because that's true stuff. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God help us. You read that sort of thing and you'll find that somebody saw a UFO with Elvis in it. We had a young man that used to come here to church. Let's stand together. I'll never finish here tonight. We had a young man that come here to church and he said, Brother Worse, within a year the sun's going to go out. I said, really, son? Where did you hear that? I heard it on the radio. What radio program? I don't know. It was late at night. It's that one. I've listened to it. It's on Sunday night, late at night, if you want to hear some of that weird stuff. Yeah, I heard it. They said the sun's going to go out in a year. That's been about 20 years ago. Still burning brightly. Then he come up with something else. Brother Worst, did you know what? I said, son, you know what? You need to start thinking about something else. And some things are obvious to us, but folks, the things that are most dangerous are those subtle things. Those little subtle thoughts that get in your mind, amen, that are contrary to the will and the purpose of God. Can we just lift our hands right now, and can we just ask God to help us?